saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. The Predators are back in action on Thursday night to kick off a critical road trip. It starts against the Los Angeles Kings, who are 1 point back of the Predators and the wild card standings in the Western Conference. And to talk all things Predators, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators General Manager Barry Trotz. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
We're doing well. Thank you for joining us as always. So the team will be looking to snap out of a three-game losing streak when the road trip starts Thursday in L.A. What has been missing in the past three games that was there during the five-game winning streak that preceded this slump?
Well, I think we got away with a couple of wins. As you say, we stole a couple games that I thought maybe we didn't deserve. And we played some really good hockey teams. I mean, you look at the Montreal Canadiens, you look at Tampa Bay, they're a really good hockey team. I think New Jersey's talent, especially their high-end talent, we gave it a little bit too much room. But I think our teams played I really liked our Tampa game. Unfortunately, we didn't get the win, but I did not like the Montreal game. I just felt that they dictated too much play. And then New Jersey, I thought we played well enough to win, but at the same time found a way to lose. So, you know, if you would have said after 20 games this season, we'd be 1 point in the playoffs and with our own destiny in our own hands playing L.A., San Jose, those teams, I think we'd probably take it. So I'm going to look at the positive and see we got to go on the road and we got to play good hockey if we're going to make the playoffs.
Barry, you made what I would call a bold decision at the trade deadline by keeping Eric Halla when I'm sure you received plenty of intriguing offers for him. Since then, he has one goal in 12 games. The team has been losing the shot quality battle with him on the ice at 5-on-5. How would you evaluate Halla's play since the deadline beyond those numbers?
Well, I think you're probably accurate. I could probably point out a couple other guys that have fallen off a little bit at the same time. I think Eric's role has changed a little bit since the trade deadline. If you look at Eric, it was probably a little bit higher playing with you know, the Forsbergs and those type of players a little bit more. You've seen that Bruno's turned the lines around. Obviously, with the move of Matthew Wood to the middle, Eric has moved sort of into almost a pure checking role with Yost and Zach LaRue. So his line mates have changed dramatically, and his role has changed, you know, quite a bit. So, to be fair to the player, I think Eric is a good soldier, and he adjusted to his new role. Therefore, you know, he's getting some matchups where the shot quality maybe not as high as it should be when you're playing with higher end guys as well.
Barry, I have a philosophical question for you as it relates to the GM search. But before I ask you this, I just want to make sure that I have this correct. In your experience as a coach here in Washington and with the Islanders, all of your GMs had the dual title of president of hockey operations and GM, correct?
I'd have to check back, but I believe that is probably correct.
So, in your experience, what are the pros and cons of that setup when one person holds both titles versus there being separate posts, a president of hockey operations and a GM, or in the case of you at the moment, a GM with no president of hockey operations?
Well, I think probably, and I can only speak from my other experiences, that there every team is set up differently. I will say this, that I believe that the business of sports has gotten bigger and more demanding on that role, and it's something that it gives you some balance. You know, one of the things that happens on the business side, if you're got a dual role, there's a lot of travel, a lot of times that you can't be present in some of those meetings that you want to have a voice. So I think it's just as the game is evolving, I think those roles have evolved, and I know from different situations that it works differently. So I'm probably not an expert to do a study on it right now, but I think the business of hockey and the hockey is very demanding. It's a big title to have, and it's also you can't be in two places at once.
We're talking with Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators GM. First, Barry, I want to let you know that I finished my Thin Mints today. They were in the
All
freezer.
We saw was an empty sleeve, Barry. When we got to the Sounds Park here, there was just a plastic. None of them left.
So I finally finished those, so thank you, first and foremost.
You're welcome.
And then, because Adam brought up Holla and how his play has dipped some. In your experience as a coach, when there are moves being made during a trade deadline, which is sort of more difficult to sort of bring back? Is it the offensive side of hockey, or is it the defensive side to get those guys going?
Well, I think when you know, in our situation, we moved some people out. So, and some people, you know, obviously McCarron, Smith, people like that we moved out. They were known for more of the energy and the defensive side of the puck, and other people have to pick up the, you know, the slack. And Eric is one that has done both. I mean, that was one of the reasons I got Eric is I. If you look at his whole career, he's played with, you know, in a top six role. He's played in the middle six role. He's been on a checking side. He's been on a penalty killing side. He's been on a power play side. So his ability to adapt is really good. So when we made our decision at the trade deadline and the position that we were in, you know, he was our free agent, if you will, because of the guys did a really good job of getting himself in a position, as we are today, one point into the playoff spot, so giving us a chance. So I think Eric's a quality player that's going to be put in whatever role he's put in. He'll do a real good job. So, but I think in the last few games, you've got away from just making sure that we've got layers. I thought we did a really good job against Tampa of not giving up a lot of secondary chances, freebies. But we gave one too many, and that at the end of the day they capitalized. So as you get down to the last 9 or 10 games, it is hard to score. Teams buckle down. Every game is very, very important, especially for teams that are trying to secure their playoff spot or teams that are trying to secure their, you know, home ice advantage, for instance, in Tampa's case.
We're talking to Barry Trotz, Predators GM. And Barry, it's clear that if the Predators get in, the veteran guys are going to be leading the way. But and we've talked about some of them already, but I want to ask you about Matt Wood, who, you know, you're watching not only for the present, but also projecting what he's going to look like in a few years. And he's really going through some great experiences right now, playing a big role in big games, and you can see the growing pains. For example, you know, his production has dropped off, but he still had a couple of shots late in the last couple of games where they hit the post. He could have tied the game on either or both. So he's still making an impact on the game. So when you watch him go through the growing pains of playing in the role that he's playing at such a young age, where do you think he's doing well and where do you think he needs to improve?
Well, I think he's going to continue to improve. I mean, the biggest step for him is in the confidence area where he feels like he can play in the National Hockey League. Feels like he can be productive. He's still going to have to get stronger and get that extra half step. But the one thing that I think that he is really excelling in is he's playing with, you can see there's a little bit of a chemistry between him and Forsberg. Forsberg's a very high-end player who you know, doesn't always think in straight lines because a lot of those high-end guys, you know, have a look at the game a little different than, say, if you're playing with Smith or McCarron or lower down the lineup. And I just think that, you know, we've been dying for someone to make plays, especially in our top six, from some of our young guys. And you know, we got a playmaker in Evangelista, and you get another one in Wood. Those are invaluable because you still got to score goals to win hockey games. You still got to defend. You still got to play on both sides of the puck. But he's learning to do that under fire in the most important time of the year in a playoff race where I can't hire any coaches that could give him that experience. They just something that you have to go through. And that's it's wonderful not only for him, it's wonderful for LaRue, who I think is doing a really good job, Schaefer, Kemmel, Ufko. I mean, we have seven rookies in our lineup this year. I can't remember a time when we ever had seven rookies in our lineup, in and out of our lineup. So we're trying to be on both sides. We're trying to make the playoffs. We're trying to give the experience to our young guys so that we can be a better team going forward and a more experienced team going forward.
I want to ask you specifically about Ryan Ufko because he's made some highlight plays that if you weren't watching the whole game and you just see some of these highlights he had, you're thinking, man, this guy has got some gifts. And you just mentioned how important it is to have guys who can make a play. But, of course, playing the position he plays, defenseman, there's so many little things that you have to learn, especially when you're his size. And you coach guys like Kimmo Tiiminen and Ryan Ellis when he was first coming into the league, yep. Guys who had to overcome the lack of size. So what are you seeing in Ryan Ufko, and where can he get better to where he can bring out the best things about his game?
Well, I think you hit a name that I've talked about with our coaches that Bruno played with Kimmo, and Ryan has a lot of those attributes. You see the poise he has at the puck. You see the thought process. He knows usually what he's doing with the puck before he gets it. He's still having the growing pains of a young defenseman in the National Hockey League when Tom Wilson is bearing down on you and coming full speed and there's it looks like you don't have a play. So how can you buy some time, not get hammered through the wall, make a play, make the right play, not kick it to the middle. He's still learning all that, but his poise, puck poise, his smarts. He's made some passes on the power play. I mean, I could argue that our second power play, being our young power play, with more of the rookie players, they've got a lot of confidence. They're moving the puck. They're getting some better looks than even the veteran group. So those are all positives when it comes to that. But Ryan is a real key because he has that puck poise and that vision that allows him to sort of manipulate the board, if you will. And if you can do that from that defense position, you really open up some seams and some lanes for some plays to be made.
Barry, the Athletic, it goes through a process where they reveal one at a time their rankings with their people. They've got a staff that ranks the prospect pools for all 32 teams. You guys, we don't know exactly where the Predators will be, but they will be in the top 10 because they haven't revealed them yet. So I'm curious for you, do you guys look at that as a reference at all and say, hey, look, we're doing a good job here? And also, do you think that's being noticed by some of the candidates that are looking down the road and saying, if I get this job, this is what I have to work with. This is a strength.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody looks at them, because we all have our – when you draft a player, we fall in love with our own players. We love our own players. And so I know from my position as a general manager and the scouts, I love the fact that our scouts are passionate about our players, but I also want to be realistic about where we are in terms of drafting and what have you. So I think probably all 32 general managers look at the ranking at and they know that you know, the people from the Athletic probably haven't gone through in depth with every prospect. They're asking questions from some people who maybe not in the know necessarily with certain teams. As a goalie coach of mine used to say, you don't know until you own it. And
I wonder who that could be that you're talking about.
I wonder who that could be. But there's a lot of truth to that. So I think every general manager looks at it, uses it as a reference, because they're asking a lot of times those people in those type of surveys. They're asking people in the business what they think of other teams' prospects, all that, and I think they get some honesty. You may like, I think our prospect pool has grown. Obviously, since I've got here, my mandate when I came here is I wanted to restock the shelves. I wanted to keep the culture really strong. I wanted to get us modernized in some areas and player-centric. I wanted to allow us to have pathways for our young guys to play. So we're accomplishing all that, and then you look at your prospect pool, not only that's on your team and in the minors, but what you have coming in the future. Plus, we have, I believe, 34, 35 draft picks in the next 3 years. So if you're a new candidate looking at the GM job here, you're looking at all that, and for sure knowing that you're going to have at least a top 10 prospect pool and, 34, 35, 36 draft choices next 3 years, you're going, I got a chance to do some things with the roster and going forward. I've got lots of tools in the toolbox to use to make this team better. And
Barry,
that's what I set out to do.
Sorry to interrupt. Before we let you go, there was an announcement yesterday from the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're making a change in management. If I'm not mistaken, the Predators and Maple Leafs are the only two franchises actively looking for a new GM at the moment. I'm curious how that opening may affect your search. I assume you and the Maple Leafs are going to be talking to a lot of the same people. Does the hiring process speed up at all? Does it have any effect whatsoever?
No, I think the only thing that will affect is some prospects that are in the GM search will, in fact, we'll interview in both spots. So I don't think it'll affect us other than, if we find the right person, the job will probably be offered to that person. And if the person wants that job, then they will get it. And if they don't, then we didn't offer it to the right guy, because want someone who is passionate about coming to Nashville and building winner here. So,
Predators GM Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donick, he joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. Barry, as always, thank you so much for your time. Good luck on the road trip. We'll catch up next week.
Okay, guys, you keep up the good work. I have one question, though, before we leave. I just want to know if Derek did put the Thin Mints in the freezer like I told him.
Yes, I did. I put them in the freezer.
It's the only way to do it.
And they were great.
How could you not? You got to do it right.
They were absolutely great. So
perfect.
Yes. Thank you, Barry. We'll catch up next week.
Take care, guys.
Yep.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Barry Trotz had to say. We'll wrap up the show next. We're off a little bit early today because of Vanderbilt baseball, so we'll wrap it up coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.